This is the story of the two disciples walking the Emmaus Road. Jesus has joined their journey, and the Bible tells us in verse 16, but their eyes were holden that they should not know Him. He's no different than He's always been as far as His presence is concerned. But they didn't recognize Him. It was not until verse number 31, the Bible says, and their eyes were opened, and they knew Him. So I want to use this passage tonight to preach for a few minutes on the unrecognized Christ. The unrecognized Christ. He was there, but they didn't recognize Him. That's often the case in our Lord's dealings with His people. You may think He's forgotten you tonight. You may think that He's disappeared. But the truth is, you just aren't recognizing Him right now. In fact, I guess if there's one mystery that supersedes all the other mysteries of the resurrection, it's that Jesus was not recognized on several occasions during this post-resurrection period. In fact, we read in John chapter 20 that Mary supposed Him to be the gardener. She looked upon Him, she talked to Him, but she didn't recognize Him. She didn't perceive that He was the Christ. We read later in John chapter 21, that the disciples did not recognize Him. I'm saying there are times when the Christ of the Bible is the unrecognized Christ. But I want to magnify five truths tonight about the unrecognized Christ. First of all, I want to say He may be unrecognized, but He is not dead. Now there are times when you feel that God the Father is dead. God the Son is dead. God the Holy Ghost is dead. But actually, it's not God that's dead. It's that there's something has died in your experience with God. In fact, as we noticed earlier, these followers of Christ have come to the sepulcher early in the morning, and the sepulcher is empty. The sepulcher is barren. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus, verse number 3 tells us. In fact, according to verse number 6, the angelic witness is as follows: He is not here, but is risen. Your Sunday school class may be dead, but He is not dead. Your prayer life may be dead, but He is very much alive. Your communion with Him may be very weak, but I say tonight, the unrecognized Christ is not dead. Just because you can't see Him, just because you can't perceive Him, does not mean that He is not alive. Job said, I looked on my right hand, and He was not there. And I looked on my left, and I could not perceive Him. He said, I looked before me, but I couldn't find Him. And I looked behind Him, and I couldn't locate Him. But Job said, I want you to know, just because I can't recognize Him, that doesn't mean that He's not alive. In fact, Job said, but He knoweth the way that I take. And when He hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. saying the unrecognized Christ is not dead. He's very much alive, enthroned in the glory of His Father at His own right hand. I want you to notice furthermore, this passage not only teaches us that the unrecognized Christ is not dead, but number two, we learn that the unrecognized Christ is not distant. Now here these fellows are just about ready to give up. Everything they thought was going to take place seemingly has not taken place. Now they're going home and they're very sad, very disheartened. The Bible tells us in verse number 14, and they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass, that's one of Luke's favorite phrases, if you'd like to study that out, it means it didn't just sort of happen. But God arranged it so. It came to pass that while they communed together, they're fellowshipping, they're trying to figure all this out, and while they reasoned, watch this now, verse 15. Jesus Himself drew near and went with them. The Son of God is right at their side. God incarnate walks along with them. Jesus is very close. No, they didn't recognize Him. If you'd asked them, they might have said something like us. Well, I reckon God must be about 1,000 miles away. We hadn't had any good services lately. I tell you, we've really been having a hard time. Huh? Are y'all having as hard a time as we're having? I'm sure you are. Things must be pretty difficult everywhere these days, aren't they? That seems to be the general trend of people's conversation in this hour, talking about how hard and how bad that things really are. But the Bible says Jesus Himself drew near and went with them. He may be unrecognized, but He is not dead. Your situation may be rather lifeless, but He is very much alive. And He may be unrecognized. You may not perceive it, but thank God He is not distant. He is not far off. He is not estranged from His people. In fact, the Bible tells us, Paul in his Philippian letter writes, the Lord is at hand. Now, I heard a fellow preach a whole sermon on the second coming from that text. But I've studied as much as I can on that verse. I hadn't found the second coming in that phrase yet. The verse does not say the Lord's coming is at hand. The text says the Lord is at hand. We use the expression in this part of the country, at arm's reach. That's how my daddy kept me in church when I was a boy. I had to sit one seat behind him if I got off the seat where he and mother was. And I think now that's because he could reach back and get me if he needed to. I want to say some folks act like God's a million miles away and that He's out of business. And if you can get a hold of Him, it'll be a rare happening. But the Bible says He's at hand. You may not see Him. You may not recognize Him. You may not be aware that He's there. But the Lord is at hand. Huh? Oh my, reach out and
touch the Lord while he passes by. Some years ago, when I was studying the ministry and the work of a potter, I visited a little pottery shop down below Asheboro, North Carolina. And the potter was very kind and gracious and showed me around, took me through the different stages of finishing a vessel. And he took me over to his brick kiln, or where he fired the clay. When I got over there, he already had fired the kiln that morning, and the vessels were inside baking away. He told me how hot he had gotten it, how hot he was yet going to boost it, how much the vessels could take. And then I noticed every now and then he'd flip up a piece of metal, sort of like a little flap, and he'd look down in the furnace. And he said to me, he said, I call that my peephole. He said, I just come by every now and then and look in to see how the vessels are responding to the fire. You thought God had forsaken you. You thought God had walked off and left you in a mess. I want to tell you, he may be unrecognized, but he is not distant. He is near. He is close. The Lord is at hand. Oh, thank God for his closeness. And I said, I want y'all to pray for me that I can feel the Lord's presence. I don't know what's happened, but the Lord's just seemingly withdrawn himself. Well, I say to you, here's two fellas in the same predicament. They think it's all over. They're very saddened, very discouraged. And I'm sure that you wouldn't want to hear them give a testimony about now. The service would probably take a plunge if you ask one of these fellas to pray or if you ask him to say a word for the Lord. But I tell you, while they walk along, unbeknown to them, the Lord Jesus is right there nearby. And thank God for that truth. He is with his people. I want to emphasize thirdly, as these fellas talk, Jesus listened to what they had to say. Verse number 17, he asked a question. What manner of communications are these that you have one to another as you walk and are sad? He said, what you talking about? One of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? You mean you hadn't heard what's been happening? I love the way Jesus responds in verse 19. He says, what things? As if he didn't know. He had been the very center of all the events that had transpired in and around Jerusalem. Why does he ask such a question? What things? Why does he ask them, what are you communicating about? Because he wants to hear what they've got to say about it. Are you ready? The unrecognized Christ is not dead. You may feel like your faith is dead. You may feel like your love is dead, but he's not dead. You may not recognize him, but he is alive. And may I say, not only is the unrecognized Christ not dead, and the unrecognized Christ is not distant. But thirdly, the unrecognized Christ is not dead. He hears everything these boys have to say. He hears the negatives. He hears the positives. He hears statements which are whines. He hears statements which are forms of prayer and desperation. I'm saying to you, the devil will try to make you believe that God's not listening to anything you've got to say, and God is not in any kind of audience to your prayers. But I want to remind you, we have a faithful high priest seated at the Father's right hand, making intercession for all those who come unto God by Him. He is not deaf. He hears every petition. I love that 34th Psalm. There's a lot of wonderful text in that Psalm. One, verse number 15 in particular, reads, "The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cries." I've used this all over the country. I may have used it here in days gone by. But that word unto or on, His eyes are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cries, suggests singular vision and singular attention. He's blocked out everything to the right, and He's blocked out everything to the left. He's blocked out everything above, and He's blocked everything out below. And He has zeroed in on the case of the righteous when it comes to hearing their prayers. He's blocked out everything to the right. He's blocked out everything to the left. He's blocked out everything above. He's blocked out everything below. And He gives singular and devoted attention to the cries of His people. Oh, let me encourage you tonight. God may seem to be silent. He may seem to be out of your vision. But He's not deaf. Keep telling Him how you feel in your heart. Keep telling Him how it is down deep in your soul. Keep bringing your burdens to the Lord. Call upon Me, and I will answer thee. Is that not in the Bible? And I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. He is not deaf. No, no. His ears are open unto our cries. We have such a God in heaven tonight. One who is so interested in us and so concerned about us, He hears our petitions. He's touched by the feelings of our infirmity. I preached last night down in Georgia on Moses asking God why. And you know God even heard Moses ask Him why? And He answered him. Yes, sir. Exodus chapters 5 and 6. God responded to his why. I know there have been times you felt because somebody said something like this, don't ever ask God why. That you should never say why. That sounded as though you were complaining against God. Of course, you've asked your wife why. Or your husband why. Or your daddy or your mama why. Or your children, why? And nobody got upset over that. I reckon we have engineered some far-fetched relationship with God where we can't even be ourselves in His presence. Oh, dear friend, there are times when you're not sending out positive response to what's going on in your life. There are negative cries in your spirit. And you say, why? Why? I didn't expect anything like this. Oh my, now, what else is going to happen? And you find yourself getting a little negative and getting a little aggravated at the circumstances. But oh, thank God we have one in heaven who even listens to our whys and our confusion. In fact, He's the only one that can help us in those hours. I've been encouraging. God's been dealing with me about encouraging faith. Everywhere I'm going, everybody's discouraging it. And everybody's jumped on that wagon. How dark it is. Last days, I don't know if we can have any revival. I don't expect much to happen, preacher. We're having the meeting, and we're glad you're here, but we don't expect anything much to take place. And And most of the folks are cowed down. And if anything does begin to happen, they look over their glasses as if to say, wildfire. God wasn't in that. I know God wasn't in that because he hadn't notified me yet, and I'm always the leadoff man around here. Oh, listen to me, brother. God is not deaf. You keep crying out about that boy. You keep crying out about that daughter. You keep crying out about that wife, about that husband, about that deep need. Thank God, he is not deaf. His ears are open unto our cries. Several years ago, I got into the pits of despond. And the slough despond, as John Bunyan puts it. And I was very low. In fact, I guess I had never seen the extent of defeat as I was seeing in that time. I'd already checked in to a job and was planning on canceling a bunch of meetings. Hadn't to do the best I could, maybe preach around here in our area and just get by. And a dear preacher friend of mine, who's been somewhat of a spiritual father to me, he dropped by one day. And he said, "Brother Tom, I brought this young preacher by. I've been telling him about your library. I want you to show him your books." I called his name. I said, "Well, they're up there. I haven't been up there in several weeks. But if you want him to see the books, there, my library is up there. The door's open. Go on up." "No," he said, "I want you to go up. Show them to him. Talk to him about them. Help him a little bit." So finally I gave in and went up. That was mistake number one. And I got up there and talked to the fella a little while. He was very curious and interested. And then my preacher friend said, "Brother Tom, I really didn't come up here for him to just look at your books." He called another friend's name and said he told me that you'd really been low. And he said, "I felt like God wanted me to come over here and have a prayer meeting." I said, "Well, you're the one that's wanting to pray. Go ahead." He said, "Well, you'll get down here with us, won't you?" I said, "Yeah, I'll get down with you." That was mistake number two. I'd gotten to where the Bible didn't have anything to say. And I couldn't get anything to say to God. And I just felt like it was all in vain and useless. Might as well change gears. And boy, it wasn't long till that dear man of God started weeping before the throne of God. And that other young preacher got to crying out in his high-pitched voice. And the first thing I knew, I felt a warm tear run down my cheek. And it wasn't long till I found myself trying to at least formulate a few phrases and say something about the Lord's goodness. And then they left. And there's something God had aroused in me that hadn't been aroused in the last some weeks. And I found myself slipping off down the hill and going to that little place of prayer that I'd had for years. And I found myself saying, "Lord, if you'll give me something to pray, I'll do my best to pray. I hadn't even wanted to, but Lord, I've got to want to now." Oh, I'm telling you, brother, don't quit praying. Don't give up. Don't back out on God. He's still listening even when you feel like you're only groaning and you have nothing that's which God would be interested in. I'm telling you, you may not recognize him, but praise God, he is not deaf. He is not deaf. Jesus said, "And whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." He said, "Abide in me, and my words will abide in you. You shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you." Are you listening to me? The unrecognized Christ is not dead. Don't give up now, friend. He's getting ready to join you walking down the road. Don't bail out now. He's getting ready to talk to you and ask some questions. He's drawing near. Don't quit now. He's listening to all your petitions, whether they're negative or positive. Thank God he's interested in the depths and the recesses, the attitudes and the feelings of our inner man. In fact, don't forget, God doesn't ask questions to get answers. He asks questions so you can get answers. He didn't ask Adam, "Adam, where art thou?" because he didn't know where Adam was. He asked Adam, "Where art thou?" because Adam didn't know where Adam was. I get along all right with the Lord till he goes to asking me questions, don't you? He is not dead. He is not distant. He is not deaf. I want you to notice, fourthly, he is not defeated. Jesus is not the one defeated in this story. He's walking in resurrection power. It's these boys going home to Emmaus that's down. The Bible tells us when he said, "What things?" they began to unravel their hearts. They said unto him, verse 19, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him." What's this now? Here's where a lot of weight is. "But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel." We thought, we figured, we were of the persuasion. Boy, don't we get in a lot of trouble trying to get the first step on God. We thought this was going to happen. We figured this would be next. Well, they poured out their hearts. Jesus, in verse 25, he had to rebuke them. He said, "Oh, fools," and if you'll look up that word, it means dullards. "Oh, dullards! Your senses are dull. Your hearts are dull. Your minds are dull. You're slow of heart to believe. You're full of doubt. You're full of distrust. You're trusting yourself instead of God in the Bible." Oh, I'm trying to say they're the ones that's defeated. They're the ones that's whining. They're the ones with their heads down on their chest. They're the ones twiddling their thumbs. They're the ones eating their fingernails off into the quick. We don't know what's going to happen now. We thought that he was going to come and set up his kingdom and redeem Israel. Now we're not certain what might take place. I don't know. I wish y'all pray for me. It looks like if something don't happen, there's no telling what might happen to me before long. Hey, dear friend, he's not defeated. You're the one that's defeated. Quit carrying on like God has lost some battle. I want to tell you, he's walking in resurrection power. Hallelujah. Everywhere I'm going, everybody's trying to get the victory when the victory is already ours in the Lord Jesus. Why don't you quit looking at yourself and quit looking at what happened back yonder at Jerusalem and quit thinking about everything that didn't happen the way you thought it was going to happen? And go now looking to Jesus again and cry out to him and seek after him and pursue after him. The Bible says, "Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." If you want help, help's available. But if you want to whine and moan, there's a whole lot of folks already on that wagon, and you can have some real good defeated fellowship with them. Praise God, I've just come to the conclusion that my Father's running the show and everything's running all right. Amen. Are you listening to me? He's not defeated. No, he came out of the grave in resurrection splendor. And he sits at the Father's right hand tonight. And he is not in any way eating his fingernails off into the quick. And said, well, I thought it was going to happen this way. I thought Russia was going to do this. I thought Europe was going to do that. Oh, no. It's all running right on schedule with him. And blessed is the people that finds out there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. Amen. Yeah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Somebody said, you're just trying to stir something up. Guilty. Guilty. I'm here to stir up faith. I'm here to encourage confidence in God. He happens to be just as big as he always has been. Don't come telling me what Grandma used to do. Oh, somebody said, well, I tell you, Papa used to do this. Well, why don't you join him? Amen. Don't bring me all this Grandma used to do and Papa used to do. Why don't you realize that he's walking along with you, whether you feel him, whether you see him, whether you can touch him, whether you can sense him or not, he's still there. You just keep looking to him and believing in him and having confidence in him. He's alive and doing well. Amen. Praise God in the land. Yeah! He may be unrecognized, but he is not dead. He is not distant. He is not deaf. He is not defeated. He reigns in the glory. This verse comes to my heart. Let me try to quote it. Now we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Huh? What about this one? Now thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. What about this one? Now thanks be unto God, which causeth us always to triumph through Christ. I'm telling you, brother, he's not defeated. You're the one that's whining. You're the one that's moaning and blaming it on the devil. What the devil's doing? Is the devil bothering you? Well, whoever said the devil wasn't going to be attacking God's people? But oh, don't forget, he's defeated. He's a defeated foe. I don't care who says it, what preacher or what songwriter. But we don't have to wait till Jesus comes back for the devil to be defeated. I heard one the other day said, old Satan's going to be put down. Hey, you're 2,000 years behind. Victory was won at Calvary. Victory was won at Calvary. Unrecognized, but not defeated. Let me try to hush. I want you to look finally in this passage. He may be the unrecognized Christ, but he is not dead. He may be the unrecognized Christ, but he is not distant. He may be the unrecognized Christ, but he is not deaf. He may be the unrecognized Christ, but he is not defeated. And finally, he may be the unrecognized Christ. You may not see who he is. You may miss a cue on your vision. You may have a focus problem. But I want to tell you, he is not disinterested.
He is not dead. He is not distant. He is not deaf. He is not defeated. He is not disinterested. He loves his home. He cares for his home. I want you to watch what happened. Now, it's 8 miles from Jerusalem to Emmaus. I don't know how quickly Jesus joined these disciples, whether it was a mile out of Jerusalem or 2 miles out of Jerusalem. He may have joined them at the outstart of their journey, which is suggested in these verses. But I can't get a hold on this the way I want to. Verse 27 says, "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." And you thought some of us were long-winded. Here is an 8-mile sermon from Jerusalem to Emmaus on the entire Old Testament. Yes, sir. Somebody said, "Boy, I wish I could have heard that." Well, get in Genesis in the morning, and he's just liable to light the fire in your heart. He begins to expound unto them the things concerning himself. Verse 28, "And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went. And he made," I like this, "he made as though he would have gone further." Now, he wasn't going further, but he made as though he would have gone further. He wanted to see how interested they were in fellowshipping with him some more. I believe I've been in services, in meetings where that happened, where the Lord would draw nigh, reveal himself to our hearts, and then maybe in the middle of the service or the last of the service, it seemed as though he was going to go further. Or maybe about Wednesday night in a meeting, it's as though the Lord isn't going to manifest himself anymore. He'll let us have it if we want it. Amen. And by the way, it isn't that he's not going to show up. He's always present. But oh, I want him to show out, don't you? I want him to unveil himself. And the Bible says they pleaded with him, verse 29, they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us." And the Bible says he went in to tarry with them. Hey, if you don't want him to leave, plead with him to hang around. "While on others thou art calling, Lord, please don't pass me by. Seems like you blessed everybody else in the service but me. Oh, Lord, don't pass on now. Please do something for me. Have mercy on me, Lord." And the Bible says he came in, and I love verse 30, "And it came to pass," watch out now, "as he sat at meat with them, he took bread." Now, you know that's not ethical. The guest is not to take over. The host is to be the one who passes out the bread. But you see, Jesus never has entered into any situation where he was satisfied just being the guest. He must take over. He must run the show. So he took bread, and then he didn't even ask one of them to pray. He blessed it. They're not in shape to bless it. And he broke it. Uh-oh. When he got to breaking that bread, they had seen somebody break bread like that before. And the Bible says their eyes were opened. And they knew him. They said, "That's him. It's him. It's him. It's him. He's not dead. He's not distant. He's not deaf. He's not defeated. He's not disinterested. Hey, friend, don't give up now. He's getting ready to break bread. Don't fade out of the picture now. He's getting ready to bless it. He's getting ready to pass it out. Oh, I tell you, brother, when you see him break bread, it brings back memories of what he's done in days gone by. And the first thing you know, you're so stirred up, you're running all the way back to Jerusalem, that 8 miles, to tell the folks up there what you've been looking at. He may be unrecognized now, but he may be recognized in a little while. You may not perceive him now, but 8 miles from now, you might be recognizing who he is. Oh, thank God for his mercy, for his patience. I say to you, the Lord is risen. He is not here. He is risen, and he wants to make himself known to you, and he wants to make himself known to me. May God save us from moaning and groaning and whining and pining. May we draw nigh to God that he might draw nigh to us these hours. Oh, he's unrecognized. My wife and I have pulled some pranks on one another over the years. I don't encourage it, but we have done it. And I'll never forget, we hadn't been married very long, and I was working second shift and trying to go to Bible school. And I got home a little early one night, and I noticed that she wasn't home. She'd told me she was going to have a friend to come over and pick her up. Well, I parked my little old Volkswagen over to the side and got behind the bush and decided that I would really get her good. And so she finally came in, came up the steps, told everybody bye. And as she came to the top of the steps and moved towards the house, I jumped out from behind the bush. We had some fellas that lived on the floor beneath us that were pretty wild. And the one that lived up above us was a little different. And she stayed pretty scared anyhow. And boy, when I jumped out from behind that bush, she was so afraid. She looked at me and she said, "Tommy Bradley." Bradley is her maiden name. I was there all the time. She just didn't recognize it. I want to tell you, our Lord is right there at arm's reach. He's at hand. And I promise you, he's not going to jump out from behind a bush and scare you. He's wanting to break bread with you. You interested in that? Oh, may the Holy Ghost help us to appreciate more the unrecognized Christ. Would you stand with me, please? I heard a little chorus some years ago. I've sung it for the last 2 years often. It goes like this. If you know it, sing it with me. I close with this. Reach out and touch the Lord as he passes by. He's passing by this moment to hear your heart's cry. You'll find he's not too busy your needs to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. Would you sing it once before we leave? Reach out and touch the Lord as
as he passes by. He's passing by this moment to hear your heart's cry. You'll find he's not too busy your needs to supply. Sing it. Reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by.